Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend. If y'all will, pray with me. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we say thank you for another opportunity, Lord, just to come before you and dive into your word. Father God, this morning I ask that you ever so swiftly move me out of the way. Let your word be spoken ever so true. Father God, that we're reminded this morning, Lord, that it's all about you, Lord. It's never about us. Father God, let us just meditate upon your word this morning, not just this morning, but throughout the day, throughout the week, Father God, that you will lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. This morning, I want to invite you to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be in the first two verses of this chapter. We all know this chapter. We're all familiar with the outline. But I want to look at it with a different perspective this morning, and I want to invite you to answer the call. You know, oftentimes throughout life, we have our cell phones, and when they ring, we look at them, and if it's what we know now is spam, we just mute it, put it back in our pocket, go on about our day. Or if we don't know the number, we let it simply go to voicemail. And I believe a lot of people in their walk with Christ have let their relationship with Jesus go to the voicemail, if you will. They've let it kind of just slip on by, and it's become a weekly routine or maybe a monthly routine. There are a few things this morning. There are five statements here that I'm going to pull out of these two verses. And this morning, as I pull these apart and as I dive into these, I want you to listen very carefully, because this week, as I have thought I was studying this for my own personal self, the Lord said, this is not just for you, this is for the church. And that's why we're here today. I know Wednesday night I said we was going to be in a totally different area, and the Lord's like, nope, that's different timing. So tonight, or this morning, I want you to stand with me as we read this portion of God's Word. Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can be seated this morning. And the reason I had you stand is because I wanted to use not only that as a sign of respect for the Lord as we read His Word, and I know that's not something we do every week, but I want you to think really quickly about the transforming and the renewing of your mind. And as we do that, we get it through the Word of God, correct? We read the Word, we open it up, we dissect it, and we pull from it. We live from it in so many aspects of our own personal walk. This morning, as I said, I have five statements that I want to pull from this. The first one being the mercies of God. In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that His mercy endureth forever, and they're new every day, right? We think of the mercies of God and we get it confused so many times with grace. I've said this many times throughout ministry, and I'll say it again this morning. Grace is not a license to sin and try to get away with it. But yet it's not one of those things that you simply live from and deny the power of the cross. Grace is a avenue that we see that we may not deserve forgiveness, but He said, here it is anyways. That is grace. Amen. Mercy is saying you can come to the throne room. You can come to the altar. You can come to me as you are, and I'll change you from the inside out. So often in times we find that the mercies of God in our life, if we really would pay attention to it, if we would really step back and look at all the things that go on in our daily life, we'd see the mercy of God everywhere. Like maybe when you was headed to that red light and there was a big detour sign up and you had to take the long way around. But moments after you turn, an 18-wheeler came through and caused an accident. Or maybe it was the times that you said, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this thing here. I'm going to purchase this big expensive car, for instance. And you get there and they've done sold it. Then weeks later, you lose your job. That is the mercies of God. I think so oftentimes we get so many things misconstrued with what God's doing in our life, and we forget that His mercy is new every day. And after that, it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the next thing that I want to bring out this morning, your reasonable service. Doesn't say the pastor's reasonable service for you. It doesn't say the teacher's reasonable service for you. It doesn't say that there is a reasonable service by your employers or by your church folks that you had family, if you will, but your reasonable service. Your reasonable service, my reasonable service. It is up to me to make sure that every day when I get up, I'm in line with what the Lord wants for my life. How do we do that? I actually had somebody tell me one time, they said, Tom, you don't understand. It is impossible for me to live the will of God in my life. No, it's not. It's really not. If you would take time and spend in His Word, you're already taking the right step in the right direction. If you take time to pray and get to know Him, you're already taking the step in the right direction. Life is hectic, amen? The whole day, the work routine. I was late for work every day this week. Every day. I didn't get out of bed. The time change is what I blamed it on. Well, it's this time change. It's this time change. But if I would go to bed at night, listen to me, church, and go to sleep instead of laying there staring at the ceiling for 45 minutes to an hour, that's nobody's fault but my own. Sometimes we find that certain situations that we get into in life is nothing but our own fault. But we as people, what do? God, why are you letting me go through this? Well, I didn't tell you to take a left turn at Albuquerque. But Lord, you're letting me go through this. You're supposed to make my way. I didn't tell you to take a left turn. Who turned the blinker on? Who's got the wheel? You know that song, and I hear people say this all the time, Jesus, take the wheel. We would be really upset if Jesus took the wheel in our lives. Because it wouldn't be what we wanted. It wouldn't be what we desired. It wouldn't be what we had planned for our own life. It would be all the things that we wanted excluded what God wants for us. But it's your reasonable service to live a life worthy of the calling. It's not the only time we see that statement, your reasonable service. This is not the only time that we see this statement throughout Scripture. It is up to us to make sure that we make time for Abba Father. You know, we have so many ideas of what church should look like. I've been in churches where you better wear a suit and tie before you stand behind the pulpit. I've been in churches that say T-shirts and shorts are okay. I've been in churches that literally were just happy to see people. I took three pictures, and I'll show those tonight, but I took some pictures this morning of an empty building, and I immediately thought to myself, what would we do if we, as an individual, would be the only one to show up for a service? We would simply go back to the door, turn off the lights, turn the heat back down, and we would lock the door and go on about our day. Or would we spend time with the Father just as I am? We sing that song, and I don't think that we realize the power that is in those words. Just as I am. Lord, here I am, just as I am. I'm not changing anything about me, but I want you to change me from the inside out. That is part of our reasonable service, is coming as we are. The second thing is, be not conformed. Third thing, sorry. Not be conformed to this world. This world has a lot to offer. This world has a lot of things that will lead you down a rabbit hole. This world has a lot of things that will turn your life upside down. I have seen people riddled with so many questions in the past 2 months as they get ready to prepare for trials and all of these other things. And I see these things that these people are struggling with, and it's heartbreaking in a sense, because they've become conformed to the world. They're okay with lifestyles. They're okay with the brokenness. They're okay with the hurting. See, after a while, Brother Mike, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but after a while, people become so used to being broken that they think broken is normal. And they live from that place. People have got so conformed to the world in such a way that they believe that chasing their hopes and dreams is all they have to do. If they can add to their bank accounts and their social status, they've done all they can do. This morning I stand before you, I've said it before, and I want to say it again. I could care less about your social status. I could care less about your bank account. I could care less about how much your home cost. I could care less about how much things you have in your garage or in your shop. I could care less about any of that. I'm worried about your eternity. God's not worried about how much stuff you have. Newsflash. Y'all ready for this? When you go home to be with the Lord, when he calls you home, I'm going to upset a lot of y'all already. I see it. You ready for this? Somebody else going to get your stuff. There's going to be people fighting over that hutch. There's going to be people fighting over that silverware. And guess what? When they go home to be with the Lord, somebody else going to get their stuff. It's a never-ending cycle. It's stuff. It's things that do not matter. We have become so conformed to the world that we look at object, materialistic things as part of a means to get by. This ministry that God has given me has been very blessed. I've not wanted for anything for this ministry. Nothing. He has met every need. Whether it be as a pastor or whether it be on the evangelism side, we have wanted for nothing. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Even if I did need things, He would provide. Amen? We have an issue with being conformed to the world in such a way that we think stuff is what makes us happy. No, it's not. Things do not make you happy. It's nice. I'm going to pick on my brother-in-law. It's nice to have drills and all those new Klein tools. And man, you got to have them. But brother, we could do without them. They've done it before. He's an electrician, bless his heart. He's done got them pampered hands. But I'm going to tell y'all, and I mean this with my whole heart, stuff doesn't make you. Stuff doesn't break you. Stuff is not your object in life. Your relationship with Christ is what makes you. Your relationship with Christ is what is important. I think over times we've been so conformed to the world that we look at the ritual, if you will. I was talking to a pastor this week. You know, pastors get speeding tickets too, amen? And I was talking to a pastor and he said, I've been preaching at that church 45 years. I've went down that road every day for the past 25 years. And I've never been pulled over. He said, but that young man pulled me over and never gave me a chance to give an explanation, wrote me a ticket and told me to be on my way. I'm not paying this ticket. Yeah, you are. You may not want to, but you're going to. Here's the thing. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what it is in your life. There's a purpose for everything. Got ready to leave the courtroom. I hadn't shared this story with nobody. We walk outside. We're standing on the parking lot. And he said, man, God really gave me favor. He said, all I had to do is pay the court costs, da-da-da-da-da. And we're standing there and we're having a conversation. And this young man come walking up. Just got out of prison. Literally, just got out of prison. He said, one of you gentlemen got a lighter? I said, man, I don't. The other preacher did. I don't know what that was all about. I'm just kidding. He had one. And there's a reason why I talked to him about that. That's a different, that's the story for tonight. But he reached down in his pocket and he pulled that lighter out and handed it to him. And we began to minister to this young man together and just share the goodness of God. There was no church. Listen to me. There was no choir. I can't talk this morning. There was no Just As I Am playing softly in the background. There was no 30-minute message and an invitation. But that man gave his life to Jesus on a parking lot. The simplicity of the gospel goes as deep and as far and as wide as we want to take it. And there's this time in our life that we have become so conformed to the world that we look at it through the lens of the world and we see people as a problem and not an opportunity. As we look at people and we see different people every day, I know many of you do, see different people every day. Whether they have green hair, blue hair, nose rings, lip rings, and all this stuff. And we look at them and we go, now why in the world would they walk out of the house looking like that? Well, why in the world would we walk out of the house looking like this? They may be thinking the same thing about us. We're so quick to point because we're so used to the world saying it's okay to point. It's okay to cast judgment. You might want to go back and read Romans chapter 2 because this simply tells us, that thou judgest have already brought condemnation upon thyself. Because we are so used to what the world has to offer. The world has nothing for us, ladies and gentlemen. All it has is heartache, heartbreak, miserable, miserable people with terrible attitudes. We're all entitled to have a bad day sometimes. We're not supposed to have any bad days, but we do. Fourth statement. I'm going to read this whole verse one more time and I'll pull that out again. Verse 2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed. That word transformed, you know, there's a unique thing about that word transformed. When you are transformed, you're no longer the same as you was before. Thought y'all'd be more excited about that. Look, listen to me. I know me. I knew the old me. I was not a nice guy, amen? It's okay. But I'm going to tell you, some would say even me now is not a nice guy. But I'm going to tell you what, I love people right where they're at. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter how they smell. It doesn't matter if they just walked out of the beer joint. I love them. Why? Because He first loved me. We're to be transformed in such a way that we no longer look at ourselves as an answer to a problem, but we look at the Father as the solution. In order to be transformed, we literally have to come to this point in our life where we say, I can't do it my way anymore. I've tried. I've tried to do things the way that I know to do them, and it's not working. Being transformed means getting into the Word of God, learning who He is, becoming to know who He is, falling in love with who He is, leaning on His understanding and not ours, because His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And the more that we fall in love with Him, is less the world matters. Dale, you wouldn't believe, I actually had somebody tell me one time, they said, "You're a plumb weirdo." Well, I know you can believe that, but you know what I'm saying, in public. And I said, well, there's a thing about being a weirdo for Jesus. I'm not the only one. Because there's people out there that love Him just like I do. If you've been where some of us have been, you would fall in love with Him more and more every day too. If you walked where some of us have walked, if you knew what He saved you from, I don't think we catch that realization sometimes. So I'm going to ask you to answer a question in your own heart this morning. Was there a time when you said, "Yes, Jesus, come into my heart, be my personal Lord and Savior"? Because if you did, He saved you from an eternity in hell. That's enough to be a weirdo all about. Acceptable and perfect. That word perfect is unique in itself. I know over the time people have pulled that word perfect out and they've used it and misconstrued it and put it in places where it doesn't belong. And, you know, Calvinistic belief says that you're supposed to be perfect in the eyes of the Lord. You're not supposed to sin. You're not supposed to do all these things. And you're not. But I want to tell you something. There's going to be a day when you reach perfection. And that's going to be the day that you go home to be with the Lord. Revelations ring so true to me as I thought about that this morning and last night and throughout the week. There's no more heartache. There's no more pain. There's no more tears. Just simply our relationship with the Father come full circle. There are times in our own lives that I want you to understand that you're going to feel like you have miserably, unworthily, unhopefully just really messed up. Guess what? You did. I have. We all do. It's the great thing about going back to that grace and mercy that I was talking about a while ago. It's there for a reason. We're saved by what? Grace. And justified. That's, I think, a lot of the thing that people miss sometimes, that we're justified. Not to go out and live like hell. Amen? But to live for the Lord. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Acceptable. Acceptable. We have a problem with that word sometimes as a society because they want us to accept things that don't line up with the Word of God. Amen? I refuse. I know you do, or we wouldn't be here today having this conversation. Amen? But I'm going to tell you this. There is a time in our lives where we look at this scripture as new Christians and we just simply hear this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Hold up. There's that word again. Did anybody ever catch that? Okay, we're going to keep going. Unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we know the will of God for our lives? Take this thing out and sometimes blow the dust off of it. It'll help. I remember, I'm getting ready to close in just a second, but I remember there was a time, and Carrie knows, when I would go and I would preach and I'd stick that Bible back on the shelf until the next time. I would go and I would preach and I'd stick that Bible back on the shelf until the next time. And I remember sitting down one night on the edge of the bed and I thought, Lord, and at that time I think it had been about a year and a half maybe. I said, I've been preaching this long And I have yet to see anybody give their life to you. I have yet seen any movement. Maybe I ain't called. Maybe it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe I'm not supposed to be preaching. And I lay down, and the next morning I get up and I turn on a podcast, and Dan Moeller was preaching. I'll never forget it. He said something so simple. If you would open up your Bible, you'd see God move in your life. Then I went to truck driving school. And Carrie will tell you, I would take many, many days, and I would put in headphones, or I would put it on the radio, and I would listen to nothing but the Word of God. Can't read going down the, not supposed to read going down the road. Okay? In case y'all didn't know, there's laws against that. Okay? But I would listen to that over and over and over. Then I remember finally going, you know what? I don't even know who I'm called to be. How can I be preaching? And I remember I sat down one night and I began to read Ephesians chapter 5. And for some reason I ended up in Colossians 3, and I lived out of those chapters for a good while. And I realized at that very moment, if I don't know Him, how can I be renewed by the renewing of my mind? How can I be unconformed to a world and society that says it's okay to live that way? How can we live by hypocrisy when we've been called to live to holiness? How can we live according to His will if we're going to live according to our own purpose and wants? Amen? This morning I'm going to ask that you'll stand with me. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard, it's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what, I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.